This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, and we've got a great show today. I wanted to get a few announcements out of the way ahead of time. We've got the Self-Mastery Workshop May 26th and 27th, 26th through the 28th, actually, here at the ranch. And the next Skywalk weekend will be June 1st through the 4th. We've got Michael Tellinger, Ubuntu, and my workshop as well, June 9th to the 11th. And then the big conference we have here, the East Eddy 2017 conference, is June 30th to July 4th. And so things are open right now. Registration opens at easteddyevents.com if you want to check that out. Some of the speakers are Jimmy Church, Aluna Joy, Ken Rolla, Eric Luke, Costa Macreas from ET Let's Talk, Barry Littleton, John Pertoli, and myself, and more. We've got quite a few other people being signed up right now for this conference, but it's one of the few conferences where you can walk right outside and see the ships and see this beautiful mountain and ships going in and out of it and flying overhead. So it's quite an interesting place here. So if you're really interested in higher conscious energy, free energy, new healing technologies, all that's going to be available. We also have some self-sustaining workshops coming up, too, where we're going to have a lot of this as well. So anyway, go to easteddyevents.com to find out more information, and we're going to just get to the show. I'm kind of excited for our guest today. We've got G. Edward Griffin, and he's a writer, documentary film producer, and founder of Freedom Force International. He's well-known for his talent of researching difficult topics and presenting them in clear terms that all can understand. He's dealt with such diverse subjects as archaeology, ancient earth history, the Federal Reserve System, the international banking, terrorism, internal subversion, the history of taxation, U.S. foreign policy, the science and politics of cancer therapy, the Supreme Court, and the United Nations. His better known works include The Creature from Jekyll Island, World Without Cancer, Discovery of Noah's Ark, Moles in High Places. I've seen that lately. Open Gates of Troy, No Place to Hide, The Capitalist Conspiracy, More Deadly Than War, The Grand Design, The Great Prison Break, and The Fearful Master. And he's a recipient of the Converted Telly Award for Excellence in Television Production, the creator of the Reality Zone Audio Archives, publisher of Need to Know News, and is the president of American Media, a publishing and video production company in Southern California. And he served on the board of directors of the National Health Federation, the International Association of Cancer Victors and Friends, and is founder and president of the Cancer Cure Foundation. He's the founder of the Coalition for Visible Ballots, a grassroots organization, and elimination of voter fraud made possible by electronic voting systems. He's the founding chairman of Freedom Force International. He's also founding faculty member of the Red Pill Expo, which is coming up. So we'll get more information on that real soon. And that's coming up in Montana in late June. The theme of the expo is See Through the Illusion, Escape the Matrix, Take the Red Pill. And, what a great conference that one's going to be. But anyway, G. Everett Griffin, are you with us?
Exhausted just hearing my introduction.
Yeah, I always tell people, give me a short bio, you know. So
yeah.
I think the information is more important, you know, the latest information. But, you know, we have to do those to give people kind of an understanding. But, I mean, you're so diverse here. I mean, all of the things, I've had my fingers in a lot of this as well. And I've been working really closely with Winston Trout and a lot of other people and with this global reevaluation thing, I've been talking to the Chinese elders and everybody involved in this, the signatories on the gold. And actually, it's finally getting signed off, actually tomorrow morning, believe it or not. It's going to be signed off. Where it goes from there, I have no idea. I don't know about the dynamics of that, but at least... you know, the country's not going to go into total another depression, you know. But it's almost like I don't even know where to start. There's so many places we could go. I'm curious as to what you've heard as far as the Federal Reserve, where it's at, and is it even still functioning? And you know, wherever you want to go with this, I know you've been researching, you know, all of this, and I know it, to turn this thing around, I like what you're saying about the moles. You know, they're just popping up everywhere in the highest places, blocking everything, and that's why it's taken so long for this to come forward. Is mainly because of the moles and the DNC and the cabal puppets. And you know, wherever you want to go with that, I'd love to get your insight on that.
Yeah, there's so many paths to walk down, and they're all interesting. They're all important, and everything you mentioned is more than just intriguing. It affects our lives in so many profound ways, and our future is really hanging by a thread. I don't like to sound like an alarmist, and in fact, I'm not an alarmist, because I feel that in spite of, or maybe because of, all of the chaos that's going on in our world, it presents us with a marvelous opportunity to make a difference, because things are in motion. History mm-hmm. is in motion right now at a pretty high velocity. You know, things are going to change drastically, I think, pretty soon. And we can either take the point of view that we're helpless and we're just being pushed along in the current, like in a canoe heading toward the waterfall, or we can say this is an opportunity to make a difference, and we've got these currents. Let's use these currents and help direct the path in which we're moving, and so forth. I tend to take that latter view, because I think that because things are so chaotic in many ways, people are finding it more and more difficult to remain complacent. You know, I've lived a long time, and it seems like most of my adult life, I've been concerned about things that are happening. And in most cases, people could rightfully say, "Oh, you just worry too much." You know, because look, things are good now, aren't they? We've never had it so good now. Yeah, I agree with you. What you say, things don't look good for the future, but right now they're good. So let's just, yeah, don't worry. It'll take care of itself. It always has. You know, that kind of an argument. And it's always been frustrating to me, because I have become kind of a student of history, and I know that cycles repeat. And I don't think the United States has got a get out of jail free card in history. I don't think we can violate the rules that have been violated in previous civilizations, and people have paid dearly for violating those rules. We're not going to escape that. The rules are still in place. So I've always been concerned about the complacency of so many people. But today, I don't see it so much. People who used to look at me like I was, you know, kind of off my rocker for worrying too much about these things. Now they come to me and they say, "Well, Ed, how much time do you think we have?" You know, this sort of thing. So that is very, I guess the word is encouraging, although that sounds strange to be encouraged by such a state. But it is, in the sense I am encouraged, because people now are willing. In fact, they're anxious to learn. They're anxious to see past the illusion. You mentioned that a moment ago. We're going to be talking about the Red Pill Expo. I think people really know now that they are living in a matrix of illusion, and they are interested in saying, "Let's talk about that red pill again. What happens if I take the red pill? I really see how things are." So all of that is, to me, very encouraging, because although I think we're coming down to the wire, and just because people are taking an interest doesn't mean that things are automatically going to go well. At least there's an opportunity for us to make a difference. And I'm kind of buffed up by that, because I think that we're all here for a purpose, not just to gratify ourselves and to have fun along the way and acquire a lot of materialistic things. Although that's okay. I don't have any problem with that, as long as it doesn't get in the way of the greater values in life, you know, your relationships, your health, your freedom, your introspection about who you are, what your place is in the universe, why you're here. These are the things that provide satisfaction and contentment in life. It's not the biggest car that you have, or the how many rooms there are in your house and all, how much money is in the bank. That's all fun. It allows you to do good things if you want to. But the real contentment comes from these other values. So I think that all of this turmoil that we're in now is causing people to look at these other values more deeply, and to I see a lot of lives being changed now. People are becoming more serious, and their lives are more rewarding because they now have a challenge. Now they have something to live for. Now they have a way of influencing the future. And I'm sort of rambling on this. You did give me the green light to go wherever I want to, so I'm not trying to limit my thoughts as they wander from, you know, one rock to the next. I feel like a stream splashing over a lot of rocks. But this is what's on my mind today. I'm kind of philosophical and contemplative. So I apologize for that, but that's my answer to your question of what's on my mind.
Yeah, no apology necessary. I think that was great. But the one of the things I've been noticing, as you said, that people are having to really reevaluate everything. And we were having a conversation the other day. I always tell people you're observing things from your personality and from your what was formed, you know, here. And almost everything we know here is incorrect. You know, our history of Earth, the science, everything, archaeology, everything is off, you know, in the real history. And I said, so how can you really make an opinion on anything when we've been so conditioned? And so, and the only way you can really see things is get, you know, like the Buddha, the fresh mind, you know, where you just let go of all preconceived ideas, everything, and try to see things for what they are. But even then, it's not easy, just because our reality has been so controlled and so manipulated. It's really rough. But I think what has to happen almost is the old grid or paradigm, the old Archon grid or that reality has to collapse, and people have to start, you know, choosing a higher frequency reality, you might say, or something aligned with the universal principles that are necessary for a healthy society and environment.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. There's always a discussion and sometimes a intense debate as to what those principles are. But I certainly acknowledge, and everybody I think does, that we have an innate instinct for those principles. We know they're there. We seek them out after a while. I mean, let's face it, when we're young, when I was a young guy, I wasn't interested in these higher principles at all. I was interested in just having a lot of fun and, you know, and just having fun. But then after a while, you know, you calm down and start looking around you and realize where you are, and you start looking into the sky and you realize that it's a limitless view, and you realize how small you are in the grand design, and then you start thinking about those imponderables and you change. So yeah, I agree with you totally.
Yeah, it took a drowning for me to figure things out, you know. I got the reset button on that one, had a near-death experience, but when I came back, I looked at everything with different eyes, and I could totally see just how controlled I was and how enslaved I was, and how the frequencies around the work I was doing, just, you know, there was no love or joy it just wasn't present in that world. And so I went off and lived in the redwoods for a while, you know, to recalibrate.
Yeah, well, it's a nice place to recalibrate, a beautiful country up there. Yes.
Yeah, I love you. I've never lost an argument with a tree, you know, so.
Well, that's probably because you never argued with a tree. I mean, I've seen people, yeah. I've seen people try that with their automobiles, and you're right, the tree wins.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why I figure I'm just going to be like the tree. I'm just sitting here, you know.
Yeah.
And people go into their process, and I just sit there and listen, you know, and I say, well, let's reframe that. Let's see if we can and to kind of redirect that, you know, and see things differently.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know the Schumann resonance. I don't know if you've been following that, but it you know, it's usually around 7 hertz, and it's gone up to a spike at 120, and it's going up and down to 90, 120, you know, it's all over the place. And that's, every time I know that happens, and every time we get hit by a major CME or a solar flare, I've watched, and people just lose it. It's like they go into process, and everything comes up, and you've got everything from people being really tired, you know, and to emotional outbursts, you know, and really excited, you know, one way or the other.
Yes, well, that's an interesting field. I'm really not well informed on that. I am aware that there are natural frequencies. I guess the Earth's natural resonant frequency is not far from 7 hertz, like maybe a little lower. But I was not aware that the human frequencies were changing. So thank you for that information.
Yeah, there's a website. I mean, we've been getting all our information from the Russian scientists, you know, because, of course, NASA isn't going to tell us what's going on. but it's interesting. You know, they just put out a chart that the cosmic rays were off the scale, and they just put a research paper out saying that we're moving through a highly energized place in space, and it's affecting all the planets. And I just could, I just said, you know, we've been talking about this for, 20 years, you know, and so they're a little behind the times, you know, what's going on, but at least they're finally coming out with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting, it's fascinating, it's essential that we inquire about these things and pursue that knowledge. I'm not sure that the human mind is really capable of comprehending everything that we pursue, but we have to do it because I guess the phrase is it raises our consciousness, and Lord knows it's pretty low at times. We're as you said before, we're living in this complete dream world. Our consciousness is not connected to reality at all, so we need to raise it. But at the same time, we have a real world to live in. You know, we do have to make a living. Most people have to get in their cars every day, and they have to drive to work. They have to interact with people. They have to produce something that provide a good or a service that is needed by their fellow man. They have to engage in economic activities. They have to put a roof over their heads. They have to find food or raise the food and so forth. And this is all essential. And I, like some of my friends, we tend to forget that, and we get so wrapped up in our climb up into our ivory tower. We realize, oh my gosh, the bill is coming due next month for the light bill. I better find some money if I'm running out of candlelight, you know? So it's a challenge to live between the theoretical, the philosophical world, which is so fascinating and rewarding, but the real world is very important too. And that's the world where we have to survive, and it's the world where we have to figure out how to protect ourselves from the predator class, the people who have gone into politics, the people who have gone into the heads of corporations, and the people who are trying to run our lives and are running our lives and using the coercive power of the state to make sure that we do what we're told or else we wind up being severely punished. That's another side of our lives that really has to be attended to. That's the world that I really live in most of the time.
I know I've been on the short end of the stick on that one quite a few times, and I like that Confucius saying, you know, man with head in clouds stumble in ditch, you know, you get your head too much in the clouds and you're not grounded or paying attention, you know, you can really get nailed. And I think it's so interesting too, is you go in there and you go, well, you know, the law's on my side and I'll just go in there and tell the truth and everything will be fine, you know, and they don't have a leg to stand on. And you go in there and you just find out how corrupt everything is. And you know, if you're pushing their agenda and not flowing with their program, you'll find out really quickly just how corrupt that whole system is.
Yeah, you have to see it to believe it, really. It's a real shocker when you first see that wide deviance between your belief and reality. You know, and you used a good analogy. It suggested that you go to court. Yeah, you've got a very just case. You know, someone breaks into your house and you defend yourself and you injure them. They're trying to steal your property. They're trying to kill your wife or whatever. But you hit them with a club and you go to prison and they're let off free. Wait a minute. What's this all about? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it firsthand, you know, a lot of the stuff. And it does need to be reworked. And I definitely think it is. And what I've seen is that I know energetically, when I look at the science behind all this, and you just look at it as base frequencies, that the lower vibrational frequencies, you know, are fear, guilt, and unworthiness, you know, the things the churches push, you know, that all those low frequency energies, when the energy comes in, it's pushing all that up. And these flares and the Schumann resonance, all that stuff affects our bioelectric fields, you know, our own consciousness, and it's bringing everything up for us to heal and look at that's resonating on a lower frequency. But there's such a massive shift, and it's a universal thing. It's so big, nobody can stop this thing. You know, when I look at the research, even Stanford research showed when monkeys were subjected to fluctuations in the magnetic field, they exhibited behavior from comatose to self-mutilation, you know, so... I think we're kind of seeing that in our society right now because of these fluctuations that people are, you know, it's bringing out the greatest good in some people and it's bringing out the darkest dark in others and somewhere in between.
Yeah, well, I guess that's another way of viewing this this tipping point that I was referring to earlier. Something's going to happen pretty soon. And the consequences will be obvious, they'll be huge, and they'll be long-lasting.
Yeah. Yeah, the way I look at it is that, you know, if you're not frequency-specific to where things are going, you probably won't be here, you know, much longer. And it's up to us to get on the, you know, get on that wave or get on that, you know, raising frequency. The same thing with all the UFO stuff, you know, if you have a very low frequency and you're a very controlling, manipulating person, you can contact very controlling, manipulating ETs, you know, but if you're on a very high frequency and you're working with a really benevolent level, then, you know, you're going to draw to you those type of beings. And it's always the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And also there's some self-authority things and tools and techniques to make sure and clear the energies you don't want in your field.
Well, that's all interesting to me. It's a new field for me. I'm somewhat aware that guys like you are very well informed, and I guess what would you call yourself, a practitioner or an expert? I have much to learn about that. I have a great interest in these things, but I have no personal experience with that, but it makes sense. I mean, the idea, I know that at the level of life that I am familiar with, that I attract people and am attracted to other people who have the same, I guess you'd call them frequencies or thought patterns or attitudes that I do. It's just a natural thing.
Oh yeah. You know, it's too, what I find too is that when you're in service mode, you know, and you really care about humanity and the earth, a lot of times, you know, you're going to attract like-minded people, but also you're going to be challenged by the other ones that want to maintain the status quo. So I think it's like a double-edged sword almost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, anyway, my world, you know, coming back to that is I spent a lot of time in thinking and researching and writing about money and banking. The Federal Reserve System is probably the field that I'm best known in. But I've done a lot of stuff in alternative therapies, natural healing, have some very profound experiences, and I've run into people that have had very profound experiences in that category. And these are very real things. I mean, we have to live with banking every day because almost everything we do involves an economic exchange of money. Everything, almost everything. And if somebody controls our money, they control our medium of exchange, they control us in ways that we don't even recognize. And this is perhaps one of the most efficient control mechanisms of the predator class that I like to call them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's about probably 15% of the population around the world, part of Homo sapiens genetic structure, but 15% that want to control others, and that maybe out of that group, a third of them really want to plunder them. You know, they're the predators, and you just find them. Who knows? They might even be in your family. Most people are not like that. I mean, we all have a little tendency, you know, especially when you're kids, you think, oh, my gosh, little kids are all born as criminals. But, you know, you get over that real soon. And but some people perfect it, you know, as they get older, they become the master criminal. And those are the people that gravitate into politics because they can appear to be very respectable and honorable people, but in reality, they're nothing but con artists, and they're using the ploy of pretending to serve the people as a means of plundering the people. And now we're talking about the Federal Reserve and many political positions. So that's something that we've really got to get control of, or we're not going to be, we won't have the time to sit around and ponder about some of these more spiritual and esoteric issues.
Yeah, I agree. From my understanding, the Federal Reserve is like totally bankrupt, and I guess everything's going to be going back to the Treasury, hopefully, and where the people have more control over the financing.
Well, that's
financing.
A myth. It's a total myth. To say that the people have control over the Treasury is one of the biggest myths in the world. The same people that run the banking system today run the Treasury. So let's start with that. That's what the origin of the Federal Reserve was, that the private banking industry went into partnership with the government, and they created a banking cartel. That cartel is called the Federal Reserve System, but it's a cartel. And it's not a question of whether the banks control it or the government controls it. In either case, it's the same people. Very few people, very powerful people that control the banks, they also control the government. So you say, just get those big bankers out of there and turn this big power over to the Treasury. You haven't accomplished anything except to kid yourself that you're doing something in the way of reform.
Well, you have to take over the Treasury, too. I mean, you have to take over both of them to straighten it out. And I'm not sure where this is all going because that's not my venue. I don't really get into that. I hear things, but I've been working a lot, you know, just clearing energies around things so they can go forward in the right direction. And then the detail work, I leave it up to the other guys. But I think it's interesting. This whole system has to shift. I mean, we have to get rid of the, like you're saying, the predators and the banksters. And you know, I think if they do the total pedophile roundup pretty soon, you know, you'll see the Grammy Awards with nobody there, and you'll see the Congress and the House, you know, with nobody present, you know. So it's gotten that bad.
Well, yeah, I think it's a big topic. I think the issue here that most people miss, and I missed it for most of my life, is that it's not – you're never going to get rid of the predator class. You're not going to get rid of the con artists or the pedophiles and all of the. They're always going to be there. And they will always gravitate into any institution that gives them legalized power over other people. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get rid of it, those people. So what do? You have to get rid of the institutions that provide legalized power over other people. Then there's no longer a magnet for the predator class. Mm-hmm. So when you translate that into practice, that means that this thing we call government is the starting point of that problem. That is the institution that gives the predator class the power over the rest of us. It's a legalized use of force. We have to rethink what we want the state to do. We have to stop using the word government, I think, this is my view, and start using the word protectorate. Do we really want a government? What is a government supposed to do? Well, what does a government do? It governs us. Do we want to be governed? No, not really. What we want is the state to protect us, to protect our lives, our liberty, and property. That's all. That's it. Very simple. So what we want is a protectorate, not a government. And so once we create the state or redesign the state so that there's no temptation, the predator class can come in to work for government, but they can't do anything more than protect us. They can't pretend like they're providing for us. They can't pretend, you know, like they're teaching us how to think and telling us where to work and providing health benefits to us and providing food and shelter, all these things that they pretend that they care about in order to have power over us. You know, once that instrument is destroyed or converted into a protectorate, now all these criminals have no reason to be in government. Because they can't practice their crimes in government. Now they go elsewhere. They go back into the private sector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a total revamp of everything. The entire legal system, just the whole system would have to be totally rewritten and either done away with or transformed into, like you're saying, some type of a protectorate.
Well, yeah, and it all comes back to the a conflict between two ideologies. You know, we talk a lot today about Republicans versus Democrats, left versus right, socialists versus communists versus fascists versus Nazis versus capitalists. All these words, progressives, liberals, conservatives, they mean nothing. The only thing that really means anything out there is collectivism versus individualism. And all of these other things that we were talking about are mostly variants of this thing called collectivism. It's an ideology that's taken over the world. Everybody thinks that the proper function of the state is to provide a collective group of people, and the group has more rights than the individual, is more important than the individual. Individual must be sacrificed if necessary for the greater good of the greater number. That's the enemy right there. That concept allows the predator class to come in and say, I speak for the greater number. I will defend the greater number. We will have a people's party. Vote for me. If we win the election, we can screw everybody else. That's the attitude, you see. So it's collectivism versus individualism, and I would like anybody that wants to pursue this, it's very important, to please come to our website. We have an organization called Freedom Force International. So it's freedomforceinternational.org, and much of the material on that website has to do with this conflict between the ideology of collectivism and individualism. And therein lies the solution to most of the problems of the modern age.
I find it interesting whenever I cover subjects like this that all of a sudden I can't even get on Skype. It's been taken down. They won't let me back in. And now my phone's cutting off uh-huh. on me. And the last radio show I did, they had six lines coming in. They said, congratulations, you took out all six lines. You know.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah. So sorry about that. There's some major interference in doing shows like this, but obviously we're over the target because we're definitely getting flack, you know.
Yeah, I like that analogy. Well, anyway, yeah. I don't know where I was when we lost contact, but I'll just pick it up and summarize it again. I think it's important to realize that most people they believe the same thing, but they get into arguments because they use words that have different definitions to each other. You hear people arguing because they say, well, I'm a conservative and you're a liberal. Or you hear the socialists saying they're arguing against the capitalists, the communists against the Nazis, the Republicans against the Democrats. And I find that once you strip those words away and ask people to describe just basically what they believe and get rid of the labels, it's amazing how often they actually are really all in agreement. And I found that there really are only two major ideologies in the Western world that divide people. And on the one side, you've got collectivism and collectivists who believe that the group is more important than the individual and that the individual must be sacrificed, if necessary, for the greater good of the greater number. And on the other side, you have individualists who believe in individualism, which is that the basis of society really is the individual. And in fact, the group really doesn't even exist. The group is it's an abstraction. It's a mathematical concept held in the mind, mm-hmm. but by itself, it doesn't exist. You cannot see a group. You cannot touch a group. You can only see individuals and touch individuals. It's like the word forest. Forest doesn't exist except in the mind. There are only trees. And so when you say that the group, which doesn't even exist, it's just an abstraction, that the group has rights that are greater than individual rights, you've made a huge mistake, because you're now set in motion an ideology in which demagogues can say, I represent the greater good of the greater number. My party or my group, I am the Communist Party, or I am the Nazi Party, or I'm the party that won the election, or whatever it is. I represent the group, the greater group. And now we can run roughshod over the minority because, hey, you guys lost the election. You lost the war. Winner take all. So this is what we have to start thinking about, and if we want to really change the world for the better.
Yeah, I agree. The I've always said that, you know, our problem is we put our power outside of ourselves, and whenever we do that, there's always somebody that's going to snatch it up and use it against us. And we keep doing that over and over again. It's replete throughout the religions, you know, like Jesus is going to come and save us and fix everything. And, you know, God did this or the devil did that. And everything's external, you know, and personal responsibility is just not there. You know, I see that over and over again. Same thing with the government. Government's going to fix it. You know, this is going to do it. But what I found out, you know, which I always use that Katrina situation, all these people banded together and brought trucks of food and everything down there to help the people out because the government wasn't doing it. And then the government stopped them and turned them back and wouldn't let them in. You know, so
yeah, right.
How does that work? You know, that's
yeah.
That's a big eye-opener right there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't know, before we lost contact, before I had urged people who wanted to pursue this issue, and I hope everybody does, to come to a website for Freedom Force International. And because we've devoted a lot of time and energy and brain power, I hope, to analyzing this topic. And I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised at where it leads, because I do believe that once this idea is clearly understood, that we're in a war between collectivism and individualism, and all of us who do not want to be swallowed up by the collective, by the group, we are the individualists. We understand now that that is the solution to most of the problems of the world. In fact, the greater good of the greater number does exist, but it doesn't exist in the group. The way to achieve the greater good of the greater number is to preserve the rights of the individual. That's how you do it. You know? You know, it's just like, you get this guy, and there's a lynch mob, and there's a guy, he's going to be lynched. Well, the greater good of the greater number, that's democracy in action, you know what? Let's have a vote. Well, there's only one dissenting vote, and he's at the end of the rope. So, but wait a minute, this is not what we're thinking about. This is not justice. This is not the kind of world we want to live in. And yet that's the kind of world we vote for, because we haven't thought it all the way through. So anyway, if you want to think it through and explore with us, come to freedomforceinternational.org and enjoy.
And also, too, you have the Red Pill Expo coming up. Can you give us more information on that?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. Yeah. The Red Pill Expo is sponsored by Freedom Force International. And it's, I think most of your listeners probably understand the metaphor pretty well. The red pill, you know, take the red pill. That whole thing comes from a sci-fi movie. I guess it's about 20 years old now, called The Matrix. And the idea is that mankind is living in an illusion. Everybody thinks they're living a normal life. They have a family and go to work every day and go to church and so forth. But they're not. They're the sort of tools of a machine. And one of the humans breaks out of that, and he wants to save the rest of his humans. And they found out there's a certain substance in a red pill. If you take the red pill, you snap out of it, and you see the world the way it really is. But if you don't like the way it really is and you prefer the illusion, well, then you take the blue pill and you go back into your fantasy world. And then that's where the story begins. So that's where the origin of the phrase comes take the red pill, wake up, see the truth. So we decided that so many people have taken the red pill in one area or another, whether it's in politics or in healthcare, or whether it's in religion, whether it's in science. Everywhere you look, you find huge myths that we live in. And many people have taken the red pill and they want to share with others what they've discovered. And so we decided that wouldn't it be great if we could provide an opportunity for everybody to come together? Not that we have to agree with everybody, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of disagreements, different views, but we're all open-minded. We want to hear what other people say. We want to evaluate, make our own decisions. So a lot of these people are coming to the Red Pill Expo in June 23 and 24 in, of all places, Bozeman, Montana. And you ask me why Bozeman. Well, it's a great place, actually. It's, I've been there a couple of times, and they have a great facility. And it's away from the crowded, you know, who wants to go back to Las Vegas for another conference there, or Houston or something? It's so plastic, you know. So we're going to Bozeman, beautiful country. People are bringing their RVs. They're going to see some of the national parks on the way, bring the kids and so forth. We got world-class speakers. Everybody's heard of Robert Kiyosaki. I guess he's sold 30 million of his books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He's going to be there. He's a very enthusiastic participant. We got Mike Adams, you know, he's the health ranger. He's going to be there. Lord Christopher Monckton from the UK is going to be there. I'll be there. Ty Bollinger, who put on a great series, The Truth About Cancer, and now The Truth About Vaccines. Patrick Wood is there talking about technocracy. Craig Rucker will be there. He's the executive director of the Committee for Constructive Tomorrow. And then Sheriff Richard Mack will be there, and Joel Salatin, he's a cowboy. You can't imagine what he's done with, well, he's a philosopher more than a cowboy, but he's a great cowboy. I won't tell you what he's going to talk about. You'll just be amazed. Dan Johnson, John B. Wells, he's the host on the coast, on the radio. He's a radio personality.
And yeah, I've had him on our show a few times.
Yeah, Caravan to Midnight. He's going to MC the thing. Cynthia McKinney, she's a whistleblower, a former congresswoman, used to be way on the left. In fact, she was a candidate for president on the Green Party. I mean, she's the last person you'd think you'd want to agree with. I mean, knowing what the Green Party really is, it's not green, it's really red on the inside.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with environmentalism like many people think. And she was a candidate for president. Well, she finally saw the light. She's there to tell us about the illusion of all of that. And anyway, on down the line, James Corbett will be there. Richard Gage, he's the head of the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. On and on and on. You can't believe what's going to happen at the Red Pill Expo. So if you want more
information,
go ahead.
You'll have all that available, right? Like DVDs that people can purchase later and that people can't get there today.
Yeah, that's the intent. I'm pretty sure that'll happen. We'll be certainly videotaping it, but anyway, nothing like seeing it in person and meeting these people. We're really trying very hard to make it possible for people from all around the country, and literally all around the world, to network with each other. We don't want to just walk away from this event saying, oh, well, that was – boy, we heard a lot of good speakers. We want people to meet with each other and exchange business cards, telephone numbers, and start working together, because we have to change the world. And that's not going to happen if you sit at your computer all the time and just send emails. It's meeting people in person that's the necessary step.
Yeah, I agree. So, are you speaking at Contact in the Desert? I wasn't sure if you were on the venue there.
No, I have no information about that, no.
Oh, okay. I just wasn't sure if you're going to be one of the speakers there. But, that sounds like I know a lot of those people that you're talking about, and they all have amazing things to share. And yeah, they all, most of them took the red pill, you know, definitely.
Well, they all have taken the red pill, for sure. So anyway, if you want more information on that, go to redpillexpo.net, redpillexpo.net, and you get everything you need right there.
Yeah, I've got to figure out a way to. I was trying to figure out a way in my schedule to get out there and check that out, but I'm not sure because I'm booked for all these other events going on. But the it's an amazing event. I'm gonna see what I can do to move things around. Maybe I can come up and check it out. But the I know there's just to make. I mean, these people can make sense out of things because everything is crazy right now. Everything is backwards. I always tell people, you know, that the Defense Department is the offense department. You know, the Health Department, you know, World Health Organization, they're the ones inoculating everybody, making everybody sick, you know. You can go on and on, but almost every single one of our agencies that out there are acting entirely opposite of their mandate, you know, or what they're there to do. And I think that's all coming up, you know, with WikiLeaks and all the other things going on. Everybody's starting to figure it out that these things, these beings serve nobody but themselves. There's either going to be a total breakthrough or a breakdown, or you know, there's got to be a transformation, or it's all going to collapse. And I think either way, we got to get on the right side of the fence.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming ahead. I think of that Chinese expression, or they say it is. It probably really isn't, but I like it. The old Chinese expression is that you wish your enemies that they live in exciting times.
Yeah, we are definitely in those times. It's undeniable. Yeah. We're doing a much similar thing out here. Is that there is no guru out here. I refuse to be the guru. And we just bring everybody together here to share, and people with the most, you know, the highest healing technologies, the latest in science, the latest in archaeology, and you know, we have the elders come out from all the different nations and do ceremony and things, and we've just kept it as a place where everybody's welcome, everybody can come and share, and there's things we can all agree upon, and there's things that we don't agree upon. And I just have one rule. We don't do wrathful gods, you know.
Right.
That's an old program. You know, if you want to manipulate and control people through your teaching, then you need to find somewhere else, because we want people to stay in the heart and stay in service here.
Exactly. And you'll be amazed. That is very, very close to the philosophy that we have built into Freedom Force International. It's mm-hmm. It's not a pyramidal organization at all. It's holographic, and it takes a lot of explanation to explain that to many people. But I see you've got it already. You understand it totally.
Yeah. It's not. You know, I always tell people it's not about me. You know, people. You know, it's funny. We only got a few minutes left, but I'll keep it short. But what happened with me is I had the near-death experience, and then I was on an intense spiritual journey. And the next thing you know, I started getting these telepathic messages from these extremely advanced ETs coming in, you know, to help us out and gave us the real history of Earth, what really happened here and how we, you know, were kind of usurped or taken over. But it's quite interesting. But the interesting thing is, it's the same thing is that they're saying is, look, we're not here. We're like your elder brothers and sisters. We're not here to be worshipped. We don't want to control you. We don't want, we just want you to behave, you know, clean up your consciousness and your planet, you know. And it's very simple. And it's really that basic, you know, clean up your consciousness, clean up your environment, and forget about all the other crazy stuff out there, because it seems if you can just stay in the heart, you know, everything is fine, you know, because we have the universal principles written in our heart, you know, such as, you know, universal peace and brother, sister, love and individual freedom and prosperity for everybody, you know, that's all written within us. And if we just get back into the heart, everything works. But when we get into the intellect and start going nuts with all this stuff, it seems like that's when everything goes astray.
Yeah, and we get this huge surge of ego where we say, oh, we've got it figured out. Now, these other people, they are so dumb. We have to take care. We have to force them to do what is right, because if we don't, they're not going to get it right. And that's where everything goes haywire. Wow. Mm-hmm. When we start, you know, we start using coercion, supposedly for good purposes, chances are it won't be long before the good purposes are replaced with evil purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes back to what you're saying, you know, individualism versus collectivism, and giving your power away. If you give your power away and don't take responsibility, somebody else will snatch it up and use it in an irresponsible way, usually not in your highest and best good. And it seems that it's down to those basic terms.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I'm not surprised, but it is interesting that we have found nothing to disagree about today.
No, it's I think it's going to be a series of steps. I don't think, you know, we're just going to end like we're not going to step into the new age and all hold hands and sing kumbaya, you know, it's a journey, you know, and it's going to be a series of steps. And I know we're all doing our best to get there, you know, get to the end point there, or a new beginning point.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, you know,
we do have to push on the boulder if we want it to move. So that's
Exactly. Well, we're hitting the end of the hour here. So is there anything else you want to leave us with?
I just want to thank you for inviting me on your show. And I have much to learn. I've done a lot in my lifetime. You practically wore everybody out reading all those things that I've written. But that's only because I've lived so long. But I have much to learn. And I appreciate a chance to talk to people that are in areas that are still new to me. So I thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing all you've learned, because, you know, a lot of people, and you've done a lot of legwork for people that ordinarily wouldn't do it. And I think that's great. And also, too, you're welcome to come up here anytime you want to come up and see what's happening here, because it's a real eye opener. People come up here and they're not the same when they leave.
You know, where is up here?
We're right at the base of Mount Adams in Trout Lake, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right across from Hood River, Oregon, about an hour and a half from Portland. And it's where Kenneth Arnold sighted the first, you know, he coined the word flying saucers. They landed on the western slopes of Mount Adams. And there's actually a door that opens up and things come in and out. And we've got, we just recently had a whole swarm of black helicopters here chasing the UFOs and got them on film, you know, which I'm going to show at the expo. But they seem to be very threatened by their presence.
It seemed like we could use you at the Red Pill Expo. So if not this time, next time.
Yeah, let me see. I might be able to move some things around. Let me check and see what I got to check with Ashley. She handles my schedule, and it's her birthday today, so I got to leave her alone. let her do her thing. But anyway, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and thanks for sharing your wisdom and doing all the work you've been doing, and keep up the great work.
Okay, very good. Thank you, and Godspeed to you all.
All right, you too. All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Watch the skies, stay in the heart, and stay away from that collectivism. You know, I think the individual is the way to go. Have a good day.